I think I was feeling the same thing during worship that Anna was feeling, just this sense of, and maybe it's just the weather too, that's part of it, but you kind of get, it gets a little bit, it can get a little heavy. This time of year it's darker. We're literally, I think, a couple days away from the darkest or the shortest day of the year, you know, so those kinds of things can really play into it. But even just beyond that, I think even in our own lives, for a lot of us, it feels like we're on the cusp of something. And even as a church, how we've been in Psalm 126 and this idea of dreaming again, there's almost a sense of we're about to step into a new dawn. And what comes right before that is just this, we're faced with our darkness. And we have to almost, I think God will raise up our, the things that we've kind of just been ignoring and not acknowledging, the darkness, the brokenness, things like that, that he wants to acknowledge and he wants to deal with in the coming season. And we get faced with some of that stuff. And so, 'tis the season for that. But, I was away 2 weeks ago, and then last week we were in kids' church, so I missed the first two Advent services. So I was sort of catching up this week on what Jeff had shared and what Chad had shared. And I was just, initially I was, because I've been kind of thinking about this for a couple weeks, I was like, man, these guys just totally ripped off everything. I'm like, no, this is good. It's going to tie it all together. It's like I feel my, you know, insecurities and things rising up. I'm like, oh, it's like, no, this is good. It's going to serve people well, hopefully. And, you know, so, but I just felt like it might be a good idea to just, because we're 3 weeks into Advent, just to kind of touch on some of the, just a few of the things that really stuck out for me anyways, in the past couple weeks that kind of tie things in, with the idea of joy. And, so Jeff was talking about hope, in the fact that it's not just wishful thinking. It's not this sort of whimsical, this blind optimism, this kind of, hopefully, you know, this kind of, we'll see, this kind of reserved, guarded positivity. That's not what true biblical Spirit-filled hope is. That's not the gift of the Spirit of hope. That's not the fruit of the Spirit of hope. It's a confidence. And I loved what he talked about when he was talking about how the idea that if you're going to try to holding back the promises of God is like trying to hold back the sunrise. Yeah. That's just, I was listening to that in the car and I'm just like, what? You know, and there's so much imagery and almost, it's so prophetic in its nature. Just the idea that, you know the sun's going to rise, even in the darkness. And even right as the sun's about to rise, there's a sense of light without seeing the sun. And those things, that's almost the prophetic nature of Advent. Of that light emerging without actually physically seeing the sun, knowing the day is about to rise. So that was so cool. And then Chad sharing about peace. One thing that really struck me is when he was sharing about just his last year and how, especially in these last few weeks when Jana's mom's been sick and just the trials she's walked through with health, and the uncertainty around that, and how Chad expressed how he felt like this gift of peace just dropped in him in that moment when there was this, in the midst of the turmoil and the storm and the unknown, there's a sense of peace that just sits, dropped in his spirit and his heart. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, man, that's so true. Like when God does that, it's because it's in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our the storm that we're in the middle of. And I was thinking about this idea of a gift, and it is a gift, but it's not a gift in the sense of, you know, you get the, growing up, I have a grandmother who lives in Toronto, and it's not the gift that you get once a year that gets FedExed to you from Toronto. It's like, it's not the distant uncle who's like, oh, I haven't seen you in 5 years. Here's a token because I hear you're going through a hard time. That's not what that gift is. It's a full embrace of Christ in your situation. And the gift is Christ's. It's his presence, which manifests itself as a fruit of the Spirit in peace. And it's Jesus himself is the peace that comes in those situations. It's not a distant, you know, trackable Amazon package. Who's this from? Well, that's nice, you know. And what? So when I was thinking about these two other aspects that we've talked about, first, hope in the sense of being confident in what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do, as Jeff talked about. But then peace, finding peace in that. So as we have anticipation in Advent for what God is going to do, for his coming, that brings inherently with it peace as a fruit of the Spirit moving that in that way in our hearts. And out of that place comes joy. It's a progression. It's intentional. It's an intentional mode of the Spirit. They're not necessarily just a byproduct of each other, but there's almost a sequence there, and it's really cool that, and I'm sure there's really good reasons for this that are well thought out above my pay grade, but these Sundays roll in a certain order. And it's just really cool that we can get to a place of hope in the face of the unknown, and then finding peace in the present with that tension of what we've seen and what we don't know is coming. And then exercising joy in that place as an active thing that we do. But understanding, too, that that's also a gift. I've had, growing up, some mixed feelings around the term joy. I've grown up kind of in a certain tradition in the church, and it was amazing for a lot of really great reasons. And but as well, I found there was this version of joy or expression of joy that I just found kind of hollow, if I'm honest. I would see people who I knew personally whose lives were like burning to the ground on fire. And they would show up on a Sunday and just be like, everything's good, happy, shiny people. You know, thank you, REM. Because I knew their reality, I'm just like, it was this fake it till you make it kind of joy. And I couldn't find the substance in it. And so I really always kind of struggled with that term. It seemed like, you know, we want to be happy and want to be joy-filled, but it's like we're trying to take all these commandments in the Bible of rejoicing and these kinds of things, and we're just kind of bearing down and, yes, I'm going to be happy today, and I'm going to demonstrate that because out of sheer obedience, I'm going to put a smile on my face. And it's not rooted in anything else other than sheer self-determination, which is very similar to what Jeff was talking about in terms of, I hope. You know, it's the same, it comes from the same place, I think. And I couldn't, for a lot of years, I've just been, well, this joy thing, it seems kind of trite and superficial, and there's got to be, it's in the Bible a lot, so there's got to be some sort of depth there. There's got to be something real. And if it's of the Spirit, if it's a fruit of the Spirit, there has to be something concrete there. And so in kind of exploring this, I started to realize the distinction between happiness and joy. And starting to understand, just in reading scripture and reading some really great teaching and stuff like that, just the sense that sometimes it's taught that happiness is kind of circumstantial. So like, if I got the house, if I have this, if I have that, then I'm happy. And if something bad happens at work, then I'm not happy. And I'm So it's to do with circumstance, situation, those kinds of things. Joy, we often hear, is found in Christ. And and so it transcends our circumstances. So regardless of what we're going through, we can still find joy in Him by digging into the Word, digging into the promises of God. We find joy in the Gospels, in the coming of Christ. But I think not to drill down too hard on it, but I think we can even talk about it like they're both circumstantial. One is my circumstance in the natural, and one is my circumstance in the spiritual. And that my spiritual circumstances will underpin my life, and I'll find my life in those things. And my day-to-day circumstances, which are very important, they are, they're not trite. God doesn't not care about those things, but they do not, they have, they have, I feel like our heart is a bit of a battleground between our spirit and our circumstances. And so as we dig into Christ, we see that He meets us in both of those areas in our heart. And so our circumstances don't have to dictate our joy, because it's founded in something that was purchased for us on the cross. Verse today is Philippians 4, 4 to 7, if you guys want to jump over there. I'm just going to read it out of my book here. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ." I mean, you could really spend weeks unpacking that verse. There's so much there. It's crazy. But there's this commandment to rejoice in the Lord always. And so that would indicate that our circumstance can't be the primary deciding factor on where we're pulling from for that. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. My spirit is not always gentle. I work in the construction industry, and sometimes things don't go the way I would like them to go, and so I'm not always gentle to all men. When the flooring shows up late, or, "Oh, you wanted me to order those doors? Sorry about that." But again, my circumstance, I can't let my circumstance dictate that. There's a commandment tied to pulling from Christ for our joy and not our circumstance. The Lord is near. That's our hope. That's where we find our peace and where our joy is rooted. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to the Lord. There's this sense of the sense of your out of a place of peace, being able to reach out to God and understand who He is in faith, knowing that He can provide in every sense. And there's a joy that comes from that. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding, some translations say, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. And this to me is huge as well, because it's this sense that dwelling on what God has done for us who he is in our lives, and the fact that we are drawing from something of the Spirit, not in the natural, which the Spirit is eternal in its nature and infinite in its depth. There's no limits. So there's no limit to the fruit of the Spirit. There's no limit to the peace that can be had, the hope, the joy. Those things, they're endless reservoirs. We don't need to, it's not like in the natural when we're trying to put all the pieces of our life together in a way in our finite control that would create the best outcome for us or the happiest situation. But these things are of God and they're promises of God and they're our inheritance because of the cross. So the amount of peace that is available to us, joy, hope, I think you can say these of these as well, is beyond our comprehension. And they manifest themselves in situations that are beyond our comprehension. When Jana's mom is in rough shape and they're in the hospital and there's a lot of unknowns, peace doesn't logically make sense. It doesn't seem like necessarily the appropriate response based on the facts at hand. But there's something of faith that rises up that deposits peace into our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then even more so, that can manifest itself in joy. And personally, I wrestle with that big time. I can see the line to peace, but to go, okay, well, I can reconcile the fact that God's in control, so I can, you know what, it's okay. I got peace with this. That's fine. I don't need to know everything. I don't understand what's going on right now. It's okay. But to then go and decide, I'm going to actively rejoice in this situation. That's where I'm kind of like, I want to be like that someday. You know, that's tough. And even more so, it doesn't make sense. Even more so, it's illogical. It is not, would not be seen as the appropriate response to some of the trials that are even in this room. But when we step into that and when we believe for that, when we have faith in the person, the work of Jesus, and when we call on him and the Spirit draws near and peace comes, so comes joy. It is the outflow of that peace. It's almost like the progression of that. I've found in Scripture there's a lot of references when it comes to joy and rejoicing around feasting. There's in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, there is... This, the verse says, go, eat choice food and drink. Send some to have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes. And so, and if you look at the Jewish kind of tradition and and what's going on in the Old Testament, there's a lot of feasting. There's a lot of like, and it's a commandment. Like, there's like 30 days, roughly a year, of feasting. So it's not just like you're in the darkest era of human history and you're trying to get it right with God and all these prophets come in screaming at you that you're not doing it right. So you're trying to correct yourself. And that's actually where this verse is coming from, is Nehemiah, is he's trying to get the people of God back on track. They're rebuilding a temple, all this stuff. And there's all this mourning and kind of heaviness. And then even in Jesus' time, just the situation that he was born into. I mean, it's dark. And the commandment is not just, you know, I know it's really bad, but let's just relax. God's coming. Okay, just hunker down, hide, like wait it out. And just, but there's an actual active commandment to be like, you know what? Don't, like, it's not just a matter of believing that the light's coming. There's also an engagement in faith with celebrating that it's coming. And there's a, it takes a measure of not just faith, but courage to step into that. To be like, we don't have everything we need. The end looks like it's near. All these promises that God has made, and this is just as true for us today in some ways, you know, a lot, for many of us around a lot of things. There's a lot of promises that seem far away. And the irony is that as we, through time, get closer to the promises, if it feels out of season for us, they feel, in a proximity sense, they feel far away. They feel like distant, and this isn't relevant to my season, so I'm not really, you know, if somebody else tells me that they think I'm going to be moving in this again, I'm going to lose my mind because you're just tired of hearing it, or, you know, I got this prophetic word for you. It's like, yeah, write it down. You know, sometimes we feel that way. There's this kind of like resistance towards this stuff. But there's this commandment to almost, because feasting is basically partying. That's basically what it is, if you look at it. I don't know, eat choice foods, go buy that brie cheese, and get a good IPA, and then go, you know, do your thing, you know? And so it's almost like a submitting to the season, a submitting to what God's called you to, and just being like, I don't need to, it's a joy that surpasses all understanding. And I love it. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's almost like through that place, in these hard seasons, in these seasons that seem dark, these seasons that seem like we just don't have all the answers, where our situation is pulling at us to dictate our joy and our happiness and our what's in our hearts, to step out in faith. And instead of just be like, well, no, I'm just getting by, you know, no, I guess I have peace that, you know, God's going to be in this. And no, it's good. And it's almost this, which is good in the sense that God comes and deals with our anxieties. But then there's another step of like, in faith, we're going to party in the face of everything. And in so many ways, that's how I see Christmas. Because Christmas is the longing for what we haven't seen yet. And it is the belief that the dawn is coming. And there's almost a sacramental and prophetic element to partying in that sense. Of like, we do this in faith. We feast in faith. That we feast in faith as a shadow of the great feast that is coming. I love the terminology that it's the joy of the Lord. So it's this, there's this possessive language around it. It's not our, like, we brought our joy to the party. Like, oh yeah, I took the afternoon and kind of got myself sorted out and like, okay, I'm in a good mood now. Here we go, coming to the party. Everybody bring your joy and it'll be a fun time. That's not what that is. It's the joy of the Lord. And we find it in the communion of saints, oftentimes. Where two or more gathered. Yeah. So am I. You know. With the exception of, I think, last Christmas, just because we moved into our house and moved upstairs on Catherine's birthday, which is 2 days before Christmas. So it didn't quite pan out for us that year. Pretty much every other year since we've been married, we have had some sort of party at our house before Christmas. And there's been some years where it's like, so I think we got enough money for a box of crackers and we can, you know, there's been some lean years. We were in ministry for a while. And, but every year we just felt this conviction. It's like, we just love it. And invite all our friends, bring something if you can, stay late, crash on our couch. We'll make breakfast the next morning. And we love it. which, like, absolutely love it. It's an absolute highlight. And this is a part of that for us. I think this is where that comes from, whether or not we've known that or not. But joy is not ignoring or escaping darkness. So when we express it in the form of enjoying each other and enjoying communion and being together, it's not simply putting on the happy face that I remember from certain experiences growing up, where it was like, everything's great, don't worry about me. Meanwhile, the house is on fire and the kids are leaving, and there's, you know, it's not ignoring the reality of the situation, but it's understanding that we find ourselves in Christ in something that's deeper and transcends those situations. And the joy, the beauty of that whole thing is that we're all in that together. So we're not isolated in the sense of like we're underneath, or we're able to pull from something that's transcendent, that's beyond our current physical situation. We're not there by ourselves, but we're all doing this together, and we're all drawing on that together for each other. It's not ignoring or escaping, it's engaging with. It's feasting in spite of. It's laughing in the darkness. It's feasting in the presence of our enemies. I mean, we don't invite our enemies over to our house, but you get what I'm saying. There's a sense that sometimes there's a lot of things pushing against us, against our families, against our businesses, against our marriages, against our situations. And we decide, you know what? Let's party, because he's good and we trust him. He's going to get us through this. We have hope. We found peace. So let's have some joy. Joy to the world. So Christ comes and brings joy into the world's darkest hour. And so us as the church, we have the incredible privilege of manifesting joy to the world. And something that is characteristic of those who find themselves pulling on joy from Christ and by way of the Spirit is that we have this unmet or unmatched, I should say, ability to meet people in their darkest places. Because the way the world enters into brokenness is very limited. You have to be very careful if you're not pulling from Jesus. You're either going to guard yourself. So I sympathize with you to a point, but I can't fully engage with where you're at, because I can't get sucked into that, because it'll destroy me. Or we guard ourselves because we just don't know if we can get out of it. If we take on somebody else's stuff. But the most common way is we just become super clinical. You see this a lot of times with, you know, or sometimes with frontline workers, social workers, stuff like that. We have a lot of friends who've done that. And a lot of the way around dealing with the brokenness of the world is you just shut yourself off emotionally, deal with everything practically. We have a book and an answer for everything. Oh, you're dealing with this? Well, this is what we do. This is how we walk you through that. The level of empathy has to be limited, or else it can destroy. You will come underneath what that person is going through. And the beauty of us not deriving our joy simply from circumstance, and it's rooted in the Spirit, and it's something that's roots are eternal and found in an absolute God who has absolute joy, absolute peace, absolute hope, absolute healing for every situation, is that we can fully enter in a healthy way into somebody else's stuff and empathize with them and sit there with them, but sit there also with a confidence and a joy that we know how that need can be met. Not that we can necessarily meet it, but we can certainly point them in the right direction. And I see this, I mean, I've experienced this even in doing some counseling with some people in VIA, you know, whether it's Chad or Wanda, things, people like that, where I can express something that's really frustrating, whatever, and they can fully go there with me. But they've got this little smirk on their face. It's like, yeah, you know, I totally feel you 100%. Like for sure. Okay, I wonder what Jesus has to say about that. And there's this sense of joy that my circumstance can't interfere with, because it's not coming from, it's not based on my situation or their situation even. They can pull from something that things in this world can't touch. So for us, we have this unique ability to bring joy to the world. We have this unique ability to sit with those who mourn and who are going through incredible brokenness, and just be the feet and hands of Jesus and sympathize in a way that the rest of the world just can't. I think we take that for granted. I think it's easy to forget that we have that, and we don't need to protect ourselves in the same ways. Just to wrap up here, there's another verse that I just love, and I just wanted to hit on it really quick here. In terms of, you know, these fruits for the Spirit are also attributes of Jesus, right? He's full of joy. And so in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so as we transition into the table, it's really cool to think about the fact that, you know, and there's if you look at some of the commentators like that, around because of the joy set before him, that peace, that we, his church, are the joy set before him. The redemption of the lost is the joy set before him. And so as we look to him for our joy, or for his joy to be made manifest in our own lives, as we look to him to help us, and we celebrate life in his coming, as we feast in faith in Advent and in expectation of his coming, in celebration of what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do, he also has joy, and communing with us is that joy. And it was his joy to go to the cross for us. There's this great quote by John Piper on this verse. It says, his joy is in our redemption, which redounds to God's glory. We share in the joy with Jesus, and God gets the glory. So if I were to come up with a working definition of joy, just to close, just based on thinking about this lots and reading into it a whole bunch, joy would be the fullness of heart found in the thankfulness of what Jesus has done, in the peace in what he is doing, in the hope in what he will do, made alive in us through his Spirit. So God, we just ask that you would come and give us joy by way of your Spirit. God, we know that we don't want to conjure up some happy platitudes, but we want true joy that surpasses our understanding, that surpasses our circumstances, that is rooted in by faith in hope and peace, that is rooted in your cross, God, rooted in what you've done for us. God, God, there is much to rejoice for, even in the midst of brokenness. So God, would you give us the faith and the courage in this season to laugh into the darkness, to laugh into the unknown, and to feast well together in your name.